Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Back at the beginning of August, as many of you know, I attended a convention, a convocation in San Antonio, Texas, called Gather at the River. I did not know that the choir was going to so graciously tie in today, but that worked perfectly. It was called Gather at the River. We were at the River Walk in San Antonio, Texas. And it was a joint convocation from the Reconciling Ministries Network, or RMN. That's the organization of which we are part. Churches working for the full inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer folk within the United Methodist Church. And of the Methodist Federation for Social Action, or MFSA, which works for many justice issues in the church and in the world, of which that is just a part. It was a wonderful, wonderful convention, convocation, time to be together in a community of folks working for justice in the church and in the world. We were blessed with tremendous worship, most of which was designed by Marcia McPhee, who's going to be leading a workshop here in November. So a little plug for that. We're excited about that. And tremendous preaching and teaching. Our Bible study teacher for the convention was Reverend Grace Matthew, who's just a phenomenal preacher and storyteller and Bible study leader. And so my message this morning is inspired by and in many ways borrowed from what she shared with us. She shared many different passages, unpacked lots of stories about rivers in the Bible and how God has used rivers in forming and revealing justice and beloved community. But it was this passage that stuck with me, this story that I just read from Joshua about the people of Israel crossing into the Promised Land. Now, it has already been a generation since the people of Israel fled from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And no one is left who did that. This is a new generation born in this wilderness journey, waiting to enter into the Promised Land. And so they're unfamiliar with that previous story, though they've heard it as a story, of the Red Sea parting. And they're ready for their own miraculous experience. And so as they are ready to enter the Promised Land, they do as God has told them, and they select 12 people, one representing each tribe, to carry the Ark of the Covenant first. That's where they put the tablets that had all the laws that God gave Moses, right? And represents the presence of God. And as those first people approach the banks of the river and the soles of their feet, I love that little play on words, at least in English, right? The soles of their feet touch the river, and the water stops. It piles up in a heap, and the water of destruction, of division, the water of discrimination, of hatred, of pain, the water that flows toward the sea of death is entirely cut off. This is God's doing, not theirs. It is God who is holding back the waters so that the people can cross through. They know that. They're clear about that. It's not the leaders of the people who are holding back the water. But they walk into the river as the water piles up behind them. And there they stand in the riverbed, now dry, as the entire nation passes through. The entire nation passes through. They don't stand there till they get tired or until they feel like this has gone on long enough, until their legs are weak or their feet are sore or they've run out of patience. They stand until the entire nation has passed through. And that was both an inspiring and a challenging word to hear. In the context of seeking justice, particularly justice for LGBTQ folk, but justice in general, and in the work of building church and beloved community, because it takes an incredible amount of time. It takes an incredible amount of patience It takes an incredible amount of standing in the river, just standing there and waiting for others to pass through. We would much rather be off frolicking in the promised land. Looks really good over there. The land of God's shalom, where justice and peace are the law of the land. It's not even a law that's written anywhere in books, but written on the hearts of everyone there. A place where all are welcomed, included, embraced, where every tear is wiped from our eyes. We'd much rather be off playing and enjoying and being in the midst of that beatific vision. But here we are, up to our toes, up to our ankles in mud, standing in the somewhat dry, but probably still a little damp and sticky and squelching at our feet, mud of the river, waiting for one another to pass into the promised land. It is exhausting. It is discouraging how long it takes this line of people to cross into the promised land. Sometimes you can't even see the end of it. There's just people as far as the eye can see, and we're still waiting. But it is also courageous and an act of faithfulness, faithfulness to God and faithfulness to one another, an act of compassion to hold that space. We know it is not us, that if we step aside, that's not like God's going to punish us and the water come crashing down. And yet, it is an act of faith that that doesn't happen anyway, that destruction doesn't just overwhelm us when we least expect it. And it is an act of love and kindness for one another. We do not always agree. We do not always see eye to eye. We might think we're standing in different rivers waiting for one another sometimes, because it feels like that, waiting for each other to enter into a promised land together. And yet that is the call. If we would be leaders in faith and leaders in justice and leaders in building beloved community together, our task is to stand firm and wait. And if you're like me, well, I'm not very good at waiting. But wait I must. I took this word as a challenge. This is why it takes so long to become and remain a reconciling congregation. As you all know, conversations and education and prayer and more conversations and more education and more prayer and more prayer and more prayer and taking votes, and then, oh, that was just the beginning. And living into what it means to radically welcome one another with all the messiness that includes. That's why it takes so long, because we're standing with and for one another. And we're not going to give up on each other just because we might not be in the same place, in the same part of the river. We're standing with and for one another. That's why it takes so long. That's why it takes so long to build beloved community. Because we don't all get along, or we don't all believe the same things necessarily. There are folk that are hard to get along with. Usually we all are a little hard to get along with. And to build that vision of what it looks like to live together in unity, it takes time, it takes patience, standing with and for one another. While God holds the waters at bay, take your time, the waters of division, the waters that would tear us apart, it takes the time it takes. God's going to hold that space, and we're going to hold that space, waiting with and for each other. As we heard a couple weeks ago when we were talking about one of the hallmarks of beloved community being that it is not the beloved community unless everybody is invited in. Well, it's not the beloved community. It's great to invite people in. It's not the beloved community unless everybody has the space held open for them to come in as they are and as they are ready. At this same convocation, we heard a speaker who is a young, queer, transgender man from Uganda, where, as you might know, it is a crime punishable by death to be gay, and where people are somewhat encouraged to try to ferret out who fits that category so that they might receive punishment. And he has sought and received refuge and sanctuary in the United States. And he says, I'm very grateful for that, and very grateful for the hospitality, but also for the progress, if you will, that's been made in the United States. He said, but will you stand in the river? Will you stand in the river for my people until all of them can cross through? It's going to be a long wait. It's going to be a long time, and your feet are going to sink deep in the mud. Will you stand there for my siblings from Uganda? Will you stand there for them? And if you'll stand there for them, will you stand there for that family member or friend or person in your pew who thinks radically differently than you do? Will you stand there together for one another? And Reverend Matthew reminded us of the promises we make in baptism. Not the promise that the family makes to the child, if the person being baptized is a child. The promise the community makes to the one being baptized. We promise that person being baptized, no matter how old or young they are, no matter anything about them. We don't often even know them. They're either a child that's just beginning to form the very basic beginnings of personality, or they might be an adult who's just coming into the community of the church. We may know nothing about them, nothing whatsoever, and we promise that person that we will stand in the river. That's what we're promising them. The same river of baptism in which Jesus himself would be baptized, the River Jordan. We promise that child that we will stand in the river until they enter into the beloved community in fullness, until they enter into the promised land. And Grace said, God help us if we move our feet, if we break that promise. That's the promise we make to one another, that we will stand here for the child born tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. You see, this nation has a long line, and we can't even see the end of it. And when we get tired and discouraged of standing in the river, well, those folk didn't even get to trade out places, it doesn't sound like. But we can relieve one another, we can support one another, we can prop one another up, but we're going to keep our feet planted in that riverbed with and for one another. It is frustrating and discouraging and beautiful to hold space for one another, to trust that it's God who's holding back the destruction, that's cutting off the water from flowing into the sea of death. We can trust that. But to trust each other, that they're still coming. Progress might be slow, but they're still coming. To trust one another that those people standing there are not going to budge, that they're waiting still for me. Waiting, standing in the river. For young people in Uganda, for family members and friends who radically disagree, for children and adults and people of all ages that we do not know and we know nothing about, because we are not the beloved community if we do not stand with and for one another. No matter how muddy and tired and achy our feet are, we're standing in the river. You're standing in the river for me. I'm standing in the river for you. Here we stand. Amen.